I'm Dr. Tammy, and this is The Trouble with Sex, and we're talking to our expert guest and author, Ray McDaniel, about the concept of gender and gender transformation, non-binary exploration, and bringing more understanding and pleasure to the changing views around gender. They are the author of Gender Magic. It's this first-of-a-kind practical guide to achieving gender freedom with joy, curiosity, pleasure for transgender and non-binary individuals, gender explorers, which I love that term, and those who love them. Perfect for readers of everything about pleasure, pleasure activism, The Body's Not an Apology. For anyone who's listening on The Trouble with Sex, for anyone who's read my books, everybody here has already bought into the idea that pleasure is where there is power. And it's not always an easy thing to own, that we're in a society that's really focused on work, getting to the finish line, to whoever has the most wins, and that pleasure is something you do as a reward for working really hard, and you should binge on it and then get over yourself and get back to work. And isn't it interesting that we describe relationships as work? You know, relationships are work and you have to work at them. But that implies that as a reward for that work, then you can have some pleasure, whether it's in your own body, in your own gender, in your own orientation, in your own relationship, in your own pleasure relationship with each other. That's only a little bit of a reward if you work really hard and make it successful. And so I love this book that Ray has written for us because it gets us out of the right and wrong and good and bad. Ray is a licensed therapist, a certified sex therapist, a gender specialist, a coach, an educator. They are the founder and CEO of Practical Audacity and Gender and Sex Therapy Practice in Chicago.
Want to create a more exciting, sexy date night? Whether you've just started dating or are already in a committed relationship, the new Date Night card deck is designed to bring you and your partner to new heights of passion and romantic intimacy. Created by relationship expert Dr. Tammy Nelson, the Date Night card deck includes a variety of sexy and stimulating questions and action cards designed to help you find new ways to communicate and connect. Move your relationship into new realms, and maybe even jumpstart a wild and sexy night. Order your Date Night card deck today on Amazon. Just type Date Night Card Deck Tammy Nelson. That's Date Night Card Deck Tammy Nelson. Create your exciting and sexy date night today.
It all comes down to story. If you're working on a project, whether it's a nonfiction memoir, educational material, or a work of fiction, your ability to engage a reader comes down to telling a compelling story. I'm Douglas Moser, and I've helped writers hone their craft from proposal to finished product. I've coached budding memoirists and talented novelists, helping them find the story and refine their work. With a background in journalism, film, theater, fiction, and nonfiction, I can work with you in any capacity. To learn more, check out my website at douglasmoser.com. That's douglasmoser.com. And if you mention The Trouble with Sex or Dr. Tammy, I'll give you a 20% discount on all our work.
For me, I have a lot of sensitivity around this issue for a lot of different reasons, for personal reasons, for family reasons, for professional reasons. And I love the idea that we can have this conversation in a way that doesn't feel performative and it doesn't feel pressured and it doesn't feel like we are slapping someone's hand for doing it wrong, and that we can have an open conversation about how to talk about this. And that makes me feel so safe with you and so comfortable. And also, for our listeners who sometimes have trouble with taking up too much space in the queer community. Like they're a little bit shadowed. They don't know how to have a voice. They want to give other people the voice, like you and others who are brave enough to speak, which is so honored to have you. You know, I love that we can have you on to talk to them as well about how to make a difference in this world. So listeners, this is, again, Ray McDaniel, author of Gender Magic. Ray, so happy to have you here.
I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
So tell us really why you wrote this book and what led you to the great, difficult, long struggle of giving birth to a book.
Oh, it's always refreshing to talk to authors because you get it. As you mentioned, I'm a gender and sex therapist by trade and a coach by trade and a non-binary person myself who has had top surgery, who's been on and off testosterone throughout my life. And I was working with a lot of trans folks. I've worked with trans folks for 10 years at this point. And what I noticed were a couple things. Number one, most of the literature, and in particular, a lot of research studies and a lot of the books that were being written about trans folks, as well as kind of what we saw in the media, all focused on, or most of it focused on, trans suffering and how hard it is to be a trans person and all the barriers there. And we can't sweep that under the rug. Those are absolutely valid and true. But I wasn't seeing the other side of the equation of what does it mean for a trans person or someone who is exploring gender to thrive? What does it mean and how do we support as clinicians and also personally support ourselves in exploring gender in a way that centers pleasure and connection and joy and curiosity? And I just wasn't seeing it reflected anywhere. And so I did a deep dive into that and started noticing too what my clients were experiencing, which was in a lot of cases, yeah, they had hard stuff that they went through and they felt better in their own skin and in their own lives than they ever had in their life. And I wasn't hearing that story. So I decided that I wanted to write that story. I wanted to write that book simply because I wanted it and it didn't exist.
Yeah. So you write the book that you need, right? We 100%. Teach what we need to learn. We write the book that we want to read. I totally get that. And I love the idea that, you know, I really believe that pleasure heals trauma. Mm-hmm. It's like the flip side. And what you're saying is, you know, there's a lot of books out there, a lot of literature even, and people are talking openly now, which is great, about the trauma of the transgender experience and how painful that is. And that, but there's also the healing part of being able to really be yourself and really own that and what a joy that can be and the pleasure there is to be found in that. And that's almost been hidden in the corner, a little bit of a like, well, and this could be fun, but you'll have to go through hell.
Yeah, exactly. And I love how you're putting it of centering pleasure and focusing on it. And it's not just the reward. Because we occasionally hear that narrative of, well, you go through this slog through the mud and you go through hell and on the other side, you can experience pleasure. And my entire premise of Gender Magic is that, yes, that's true. And how do we start centering pleasure and building that pleasure muscle from day one? How do we integrate not only pleasure, but joy and curiosity as how we are going through the process of exploring gender instead of just the possible reward.
Mm-hmm. I love the idea of living in integrity, right? The idea that you don't have to compartmentalize or disintegrate or dismember or split off or hide out of shame any of the parts of yourself. You are opening, remembering, reintegrating, opening those compartments and saying, this is who I am. And to finally live in integrity is so incredibly powerful and pleasurable, and with due respect to anyone who does it, hard as hell.
Absolutely. It definitely has its challenges, especially in the world that we live in. And there are certain ways that we can approach exploring gender and really shift the narrative around exploring gender that does make for a bit more of an easeful process. Not always easy, don't get me wrong, but a bit more easeful.
So tell me and tell our listeners, what's a first step to make this a little bit more pleasurable and joyful?
First step would be a reframe of the entire process of gender exploration, which is instead of it being something that is this kind of slog through the mud of suffering and a big deal with a capital B, right? If we can think about gender exploration and gender transition, if that feels right for somebody, as simply a process of self-growth. And a process of self-growth, like any other type of self-growth that we go through, any other type of identity development that we go through throughout our life, which means a few things. It means that there is less pressure to get to a point B. Because I don't know about you, but I never want to reach a point in my life where I say, well, I am done changing. I am done being, I am done trying to grow. I am done trying to actualize myself or be more authentically me. I hope I never get to that point because I always want to be evolving. And if we view gender transition and gender exploration as this is just part of our evolution as a human being in the world, it's something that we all get to explore. How has gender impacted our life? How do we want to show up in the world? Our identity based on how we want to present ourselves. But that simple reframe of gender exploration is a part of self-growth like any other type of self-growth. If everyone believed that, I think it would fundamentally shift how we talk about gender in the world today.
Well, and I like the way you're saying that because it implies, first of all, that we never arrive. Mm-hmm. I mean, if anyone out there has arrived, let me know. Me too. They must be very cool. And that it's a lifelong process. Mm-hmm. It's not just something you do in your adolescence or in your early 20s or, you know, we live long enough now that we go through like a second adolescence. So I know a lot of people in their 50s and 60s who are going through transitions again and exploring, you know, opening their sexual orientations and becoming more fluid around their gender as they get older. And so, you know, adolescence is a lifelong journey.
It is. You use the word transitions, and I think that is key here, is that we are always transitioning into more of who we are, into more of our authentic self, and that involves a lot of growth and change. And I love that you're seeing people who in their 50s and 60s and beyond are getting permission to say, hey, do I want to show up in the world differently? Are there parts of me that I haven't been able to express that I now want to express in my life? And I think that's a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk for a minute about words and how we talk about this. Because, you know, if I work with someone who is 65 years old, who might call themselves a cross-dresser or, you know, a butch lesbian compared to someone in their 20s who identifies as transgender or it has different nomenclature that they've grown up with, that they've learned. Sometimes the words that people in their 60s and 70s use is hurtful to people that are younger, or if they're used by their therapist or somebody else in the social media, they get canceled or in trouble. And so how do we make all of it an experience that feels like we're all exploring and curious and respectful and open and honest? And how do we all work together in a community where we want to support each other?
Oh, such a good question. Because yes, people do get hung up on language so often. And it becomes, what I see is that people are afraid to engage because they're afraid of messing up and making a 100%. Mistake. And I think that's a shame, right? People are going to make mistakes as we learn and grow into new language, and that's expected. And yes, different generations often have different words. So a few things here. Number one, labels are really only useful when we apply them to ourselves, meaning that the words that feel good to us and feel like they describe our identity, those are the important words to hold. And other people might have different words to describe themselves, and that is totally okay. We don't get to apply labels to someone else. We get to apply them to ourselves. So that's...
And we don't get to tell them that their labels are wrong. If we say that's what they want to say, that's what they want to be called. That's what I call. That's what I... That's the pronoun I use. That's what...
Yeah.
No one else gets to say that's not okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love that.
Here's the other thing I'll say about language is that it's always evolving and changing. You know, many of us, well, I won't... I'll say all of us... 5-10 years ago, when we said the word TikTok, we meant a clock, right? So that means something very different now. Words evolve. The way that we talk about groups of people, the way that we talk about identities, it changes as we learn more. And we learn more about words that we use that can be the most inclusive of the most amount of people and the most respectful of the most amount of people. So there is this duality here of, yes, we never want to say that the words someone uses to describe themselves are wrong. And it is each of our responsibility as human beings in this world to be evolving our language, to be more open, to be more inclusive, and to invite more people into the conversation that have been historically excluded. So that's important too, is this openness to, yeah, as you get older, as you grow, your language is going to have to change. And that's true for pretty much all the areas of your life. You don't talk the same way that you did when you were 20. You just don't.
Some people do.
Well, maybe. Okay. I'll say that. Yes, you're correct. Some people do.
So how do you tell your friends, your family, as you begin to shift and change in your identity, how do you share the words that you want them to use around your identity in a way that they can hear and that is might be important to you?
Yeah. Also a big, juicy question. So the question of how can they hear it, that's important. And I also want to hold alongside that coming out to family members that you may not know if they're supportive or not, is scary and very, very vulnerable. So I always kind of start with my client or whoever is in front of me and ask, how do you want to tell, I'll use family in this case, how do you want to tell your family? In what way? What's the setting? Do you want to call them? Do you want to be in person? Do you want to write a letter? And start there and then ask yourself, how are they best going to hear you? So if they are best going to hear you in this example in person, but having the words in person feels really scary and you're afraid you're going to forget something, write a letter first, like bring the letter and read it to them. Now, there are many ways that you can integrate both of those things and sharing how what your identity is, what your name is, what you want to be called, any other information that they need is really as simple as stating something factually. Now, again, if we view gender as part of self-exploration, we are simply informing somebody that how we want to be referred to has changed. And it can be as simple as that.
I think what you're saying is so important for a lot of our listeners. And one of the things you talk about in the book is finding our kinship to our finding our, you know, pride of lions, which is so clever.
Loved that built-in metaphor.
Yeah. It's just so important to have that supportive group around you that, especially if you have people in your life or you're in a part of the country that feels very unsupportive and perhaps even dangerous. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I talk so much in Gender Magic about kinship and about that close-knit community that all the research shows is really essential for good mental health, for thriving, for feeling good in your own skin. And for folks who are in parts of the country that are dangerous or just less safe emotionally, And I get that. I'm from rural Louisiana. I know how it goes. Yeah. Right.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're a brave soul.
Thank you. Having that kinship network of people around you is so important for being able to refill your cup so that you can be in an environment that isn't always supportive. And you used, I used the metaphor of a pride, meaning also a pride of lions. And if you think about lions, they are in a family group. It's a chosen family. They do life together. They are raising their young together. They are hunting and gathering, if you will, together. They are taking lots of naps together and all the things. They protect each other and they support each other and they do life together. And that's the vision that I want to give people is how can we develop these true intimate kinship bonds with people that we choose? And that can be harder when we're in areas of the country that that community is a little bit more spread out and a little harder to find, but it is very possible. And now that we have the interwebs, it's even more possible to find those communities of people, even if they aren't in your geographic area.
Yeah, I like that. Considering I'm a Leo, so I'm very lion conscious. I like that a lot. And you know, even if you are in places that don't feel like your people are there, statistically, they're somewhere, right?
Yeah.
So they're there. It's just a matter of finding them and connecting and knowing that you're not alone. Wherever you are, your kin and your kinship can be found, which
absolutely.
I love. We'll be right back.
Have you started to think about that sexy date night? Well, here's just a sampling of some of the cards. Touch your partner in a way that you'd like to be touched. Or how about this one? Describe a sexual fantasy you would never take into action but have thought about. To get your deck, just go to Amazon and type Date Night Card Deck Tammy Nelson. That's Date Night Card Deck Tammy Nelson. Create your exciting and sexy date night today.
So, Ray, tell us a little bit about gender freedom, and then I'm going to ask you a question that I ask all my listeners.
Okay. So when I was writing Gender Magic, I asked myself, what is the point of what we're doing with gender transition, with gender exploration? And it's freedom. It's gender freedom. And what that means is that each of us, regardless of our identity, whether we are trans or non-binary or cisgender, want to live in a world, or at least I hope that we want to live in a world where everyone has the ability to be their authentic self, free from fear and free from shame. And that is gender freedom. It is saying, hey, I was assigned this sex at birth and I get to negotiate within myself and I get to learn more about what does that mean and what does that not mean for me in terms of how I want to show up in the world, in terms of how I want to identify myself. And that is true, again, regardless of identity. So really at the base of it, at the very core of Gender Magic is an invitation for people to join me and join this movement in creating a world where we all get to be authentically ourselves and where we are free too. Because here's the other thing about freedom. It is never about freedom, period. It is always about a freedom to do blank, to be blank, you know, whatever that is for you. And in this case, it's about living your life as you and what possibilities does that open up for you and how you show up with your family and how you show up with work and how you show up with the things that you're passionate about or love or your creativity. And that's the world that I'm really excited to see.
That's lovely. So, Ray, what do you think is the biggest trouble with sex today?
I think that folks limit sex and sexuality and I'm going to view it through the lens of gender because that's what I do. But a lot of how we kind of negotiate who we are when it comes to sex, how we show up, what activities we do, what the kind of script is based on these really intense gendered expectations. And that is even true within the queer community, right? Who's the more masculine one? Who's the more feminine one? Who's the top? Mm-hmm. Who's the bottom?
The bottom.
Right. All of these things. And I think that it has truly limited our creativity and our imagination and our ability to have, as you know, our mutual friend Emily Nagoski says, pleasure for its own sake.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, totally. Have you seen the Barbie movie?
Love it. I'm obsessed.
I know.
So here for this Barbie moment. So here for it.
Such good timing, and really throws the whole gender role thing on its ass. Like, it really just tips the whole thing around, and I loved it. It's so powerful for me because I grew up totally in that Barbie world. You know, it was my age group. I was born in 62, and I mean, that was like, I was trained to be Barbie. Yeah. I'm blonde. I'm tall. You know, like, I had that whole thing. I had big boobs when I was young. Like, I was compared to Barbie. Like, that was a whole traumatic experience for me.
Yeah,
the trauma of not being Barbie-like enough and everyone trying to fit into that. Like, Jesus. Oh, my God. So I feel like that trauma was healed watching that movie.
Absolutely. They did such a great job of holding all of that nuance and those contradictions.
For everyone, mm-hmm. right? For my gay male friends, for everybody. It was just beautiful. So I love that you love that. I'm glad. So let's take a question from a listener. I have a question from Emily. Emily is 18 and she's in Illinois.
Hi, Emily.
Hi, Emily. And she says, I am an AFAB, assigned female at birth, and I'm bisexual right now. I want to live my life, but I keep getting beat up by my brothers. I don't know if I'm non-binary like my friends, or pansexual, or polysexual. I don't know who I am yet. What can I do if I can't even be myself with my family?
Oh, well, Emily, that's so hard. So I want to start there with just acknowledging that is a really tough situation. When you are living at home and it sounds like in an environment that is pretty unsafe for you, my know all the situation, right? If you were in front of me, I'd ask you so many more questions. But my first thing is to figure out how you can be in an environment that is safe and what it mm-hmm. would take to make that shift. And I don't know what that looks like for you, but that is number one. Like, let's try to get you to somewhere that is safe. And if you have anybody that is trusted in your life, to tell them what is going on and to ask for help in that. I am a kinship network, right? Reach out to your people and let them help you. So that's number one. When it comes to exploring sexuality and exploring gender, I think a lot of us get very stuck on, well, what am I? What are my labels? What does it mean? And I find that is way too big of a question. So I'm going to back you way, way up and say, we're not even going to worry about labeling as non-binary or as pansexual or bi or any of those things. Let's slow down and let's just start with, what do you know for sure? And how can we build on that? So you said that you are living as a bisexual person. So I'm assuming, I mean, this is what it means, right? Is that you are attracted to multiple genders. Okay, cool. That is a wonderful thing to know about yourself. Beyond that, you don't have to label that if you don't want to, if you're not sure yet, but start to notice, who are the people that I'm attracted to? What does, I love, I believe, I do quote this in my book, so I should know this. Sartre or von Anders writes about sexual maps versus sexual orientation. And what that means is exploring all the things that attract us to somebody beyond just their gender. So maybe you're attracted to multiple genders, and maybe you're like me, who I'm like, well, I'm attracted to multiple genders, but really, like, people who read books really attractive to me, or listen to books or whatever, who are interested and curious in the world, right? Interested and curious in the world and doing that thing. And so that is, to me, even a bigger attraction point than what somebody's gender is to me. And so mm-hmm. I'm curious mm-hmm. about that for you, and building on kind of what's next. What is the, let's just expand. Same thing with gender. it's okay to not know if you're non-binary yet, but can you pinpoint, well, it feels really good when, for example, I wear this one particular shirt or this one particular outfit, or I feel really good when I'm around my friends who treat me in this way, or I have, you could even play with names or pronouns with close friends and see, hey, does it feel better or worse when somebody uses a different pronoun with me or a different name? And you can just,
that's a great idea.
Yeah, you can just explore by taking one tiny step towards the thing that you already know feels good and experimenting that way.
I love that advice. That's a great idea. And I love the idea of, especially when you're young, owning a nickname or creating a tag for yourself so that you can try on different identities for yourself and see what fits, see what works. You can wear different clothes. It's easier if you're assigned female to dress like a guy than it is if you're assigned male to just suddenly show up dressed like a woman. But it's still all good. We live in a different world now, depending on where you are, of course, in the country.
Absolutely. And if you are somebody who's assigned male at birth, Emily, I know that you're not, but if you are, other listeners, then there are ways to experiment with clothing that isn't like, I am in, say, a suit going into to work, to I'm wearing a dress in public. There are a lot of steps in between there and a lot of ways that women and non-binary people dress that you can experiment with that might feel slightly safer as a first option. Even just wearing, for example, I've had clients who have gotten jeans or women's clothing that is a little bit more neutral just to have it from that area of the store and to experiment with, okay, how does this fit feel? Even if other people might not necessarily notice, just as a step one.
That's a great idea. Or wearing women's boots, like women's cowboy boots or boots that are slightly feminine, but not 100%. They're still cool boots.
Yep. Exactly.
I love that.
There's also a lot of really fun, like gender neutral or gender inclusive clothing brands out there that you can Google that are a little bit more, call them right, unisex, but I would say all inclusive genders that you can play with those clothes as well. That can be fun.
Yeah. You're going to start your own line or?
Not yet.
Gender magic clothing.
Although if anybody's listening and you want to collaborate, I'll put my name on something.
It's a great idea. So, Ray, is there anything that you would like to make sure our listeners know about the book, about what the magic is? Any last advice or word that you want to leave us with?
The main idea, like we talked about earlier, is that this is not just a book for trans and non-binary folks or even supporting them, though I highly recommend that if you have a trans or a non-binary loved one to pick it up and you will learn a lot. But what I love is that anybody can pick it up and learn something about themselves and learn something about what does it mean to consider gender, maybe for the first time in their life? And what does it mean to have true gender freedom, no matter what your identity is? And what kind of world can we create if we are all aligned in that mission?
That's beautiful. And I love how you're focused on owning your pleasure and just acknowledging that this can be tough, but also enjoy it.
Yeah.
Enjoy it.
Enjoy it.
Like, step into it and enjoy it. If this is something you've been longing for your whole life, then this is your time and we're here for you.
Yeah. You're not alone. Definitely not alone in this.
No, you're not alone. And Ray McDaniel is here for you. Buy their book, Gender Magic. We're going to give you a link in the show notes. And if people want to find you, Ray, how do they reach you?
Instagram is a hub for me. So you can find me at the Ray McDaniel. That's Ray, R-A-E on Instagram. You can also check out gendermagic.com and ray-mcdaniel.com. And if you're interested in my therapy practice, it's at practicalaudacity.com.
Practical Audacity. So that's practicalaudacity.com. And it's Ray, Ray-McDaniel, M-C-D-A-N-I-E-L.com. Ray, thanks so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
A gem. My pleasure. I could talk to you for hours. And to all my sexy listeners, this has been another episode of The Trouble with Sex. I'm Dr. Tammy. If you would like your question answered on air or by me personally via email, check out thetroublewithsex.com and leave me a question, or even on one of our past episodes. I'm happy to get in touch with you and maybe even answer it on air. Thanks again, sexy listeners. Have a sexy day. Till next time, I'm Dr. Tammy. Have a question about your relationship or sexual wellness? Visit thetroublewithsex.com and click on Ask Dr. Tammy to send us your questions. For sex-positive tips, live events, and updates, join our mailing list and follow us on Instagram at The Trouble with Sex. Listen to episodes of The Trouble with Sex on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Please share and rate the show. We so appreciate and thank you for supporting us. The Trouble with Sex is produced by Brandy Savitt. Audio for this episode was designed by Bethany Knoll Production. This episode was engineered and mixed by Bruce Hirschfield. Music by Bruce Hirschfield.